Hi, everybody. This morning I'm actually going to give two talks. They're two different but very similar studies we've done in Stoneville. And the first one I'm going to be talking about is alternate wetting and drying for rice production in the Mid-South. So with all this aquifer talk, we're actually very blessed to be sitting on top of the Mississippi River Valley alluvial aquifer, and it's a very, very productive aquifer. It supplies all of the irrigation, or most of the irrigation water, for the Mississippi River Delta region of Mississippi, Arkansas, Boot Hill, Missouri, and Northeast Louisiana. So we're very blessed to have a very low-lying aquifer, or very shallow aquifer, right underneath this. However, we are experiencing some significant decline. So in 2007, a group of scientists got together and modeled the decline of the aquifer over the next 30 years, and that resulted in a depiction of what could happen if we continue to irrigate at the rate we are. And there's several severe cones of depression that will arise from over-irrigation. So we've got a 30-year documented decline, and in Mississippi that's kind of led to a metering program, so we're actually limited to the amount of water that we're permitted to apply for corn, cotton, rice, soybeans, and such. So we've seen an increase in regulation, including actually metering our wells. So we met a 5% well metering program as of 2015. They bumped that number up to 10% of our wells had to be metered by 2016, and so we met that. And so we've seen an increased regulation over the past couple of years, and we expect that, if we continue to over-irrigate, that the regulation will increase. So for rice in Mississippi, we're actually limited to 370 hectare millimeters that we're allowed to apply in season. And just to give you an overview of what our rice acres look like in Mississippi, about 30% of our hectares are contour levee, so fields that aren't precision leveled. About 45% are in straight levee rice production, which is really complements our row crop production system, because we can go from soybeans to rice. And so 45% is in straight levee, and then another 20%, and I actually expect this number has risen since this data was collected in 2015. 20% of our hectares are actually straight levee using multiple side inlet. What that means is that we're actually laying polyethylene tubing or polypipe in the field and distributing the water within each one of these patties individually. And then zero grade is not real prevalent in Mississippi, but however it does, it's our gold standard as far as water use and rice. So, the contour and straight levee systems are very common. However, they do use the most irrigation water, with actually 75% of the hectares in our state go over that permitted value of 370 hectare millimeters. So, how do we address this problem? Well, we have to convert what we do have in straight levee into straight levee multiple side inlet, because zero grade is, it is the gold standard, but it's not real probable for our soybean and corn production as well. So, we're trying to address this issue of how we maximize the side inlet, multiple side inlet with straight levee production system. And the way we do that is using a for this study, was looking at alternate wetting and drying. I'll go into that in just a minute, but some of the main issues or concerns that our growers have, obviously disease pressure, cultivar selection is linked to disease pressure. How does our weed control change nutrients and fertility? And at the end of the day, our yield costs and benefit. So rice is a very intensive crop to grow. It's an expensive crop to grow because of the nature of the weed control and potential loss from disease. So alternate wetting and drying is actually allowing the patty of rice to subside, the water to subside within the patty before irrigating again. So this is a representative graph of what this looks like. So the dotted line would be in a continuous, conventional continuous flooded system, where we do not have a flood in the patty until about mid-season, or green ring, or 2 weeks before green ring. It could be anywhere from 2 to 3 leaf, anywhere up to one tiller. It just depends on you know, weather conditions and growing conditions and whatnot. At that point in time, we establish a flood that's about 10 centimeters deep. We maintain that flood throughout the year. And then whenever we get ready to dry for harvest, we pull the gates on the field and dry the field. Whereas in alternate wetting and drying, we establish a 10-centimeter flood. We maintain that flood for 14 to 21 days and allow the plant to take up the pre-flood nitrogen that we applied. That's very critical for rice production. And then we allow the water level to subside within the paddy down to about 10 inches below the soil surface before we irrigate again, back up to a 10-centimeter depth. And we allow this to go on until flowering, in which we maintain a 10-centimeter flood again, and then the process ensues until harvest. So why do we do this? Alternate wetting and drying practice. Well, the main reason is to allow allow rainfall capture within a paddy. So in a conventional system, we have a 10-centimeter managed flood, and we have a levee gate set at that 10 centimeters. So everything that comes into that paddy, or if we over-irrigate, it's going to go into the next paddy and eventually go out, the bottom of the field into the tail ditch, and that water's lost. So what alternate wetting and drying allows us to do is capture the rainfall, that we get and maintain this flood. So we actually raise the gate, we allow the water level to subside in the soil profile, and we're able to capture that. And so what does it look like if we don't have that freeboard? Well, this white line here is what actually the rainfall that we got. And if we have a higher freeboard, this was actually captured. If we set our freeboard at 10 centimeters, everything above this 10-centimeter line was lost out to the bottom of the field. So there's a significant amount of water that we're actually not being able to take advantage of. So for this study, we had three objectives. We wanted to establish a safe alternate wetting and drying threshold that reduces our irrigation water pumping and maintains rice grain yield as compared to, conventional continuously flooded system. We want to determine our weed management program for alternate wetting and drying and see if any, differences in weed control exist, because weed control is one of the main reasons that we have been that we were taught we need to, establish a flood and maintain a flood for. So, third, we wanted to validate the use of alternate wetting and drying in an on-farm setting so that we can translate what we do in small plot into our, our extension programs and to our growers. And so our hypothesis is that alternate wetting and drying reduces irrigation water and we maintain grain yield. So I won't go over all the specifics. However, the water level main plot for this experiment, we had a continuous flood. We had a soil surface treatment, which means we allowed the water to subside to the soil surface before we irrigated again. 10 centimeters below, 20 centimeters below, and so on and so forth. So we allowed the water level to get to this threshold before we irrigated again. And this is how we do it. We have it's just a basic field pipe. It's a piece of PVC. We have holes drilled in it, we excavate a hole in the field, and we drop this in. This allows us to see the water level within the pipe inside the field. And so this is how our irrigations were scheduled. Again, herbicide treatment, same main plot water level. And then we have several conventional and clear field herbicide treatments. So from 2015 to 2017, no difference in water treatment for herbicides. So in our conventional and our clear field. So essentially we had a reduction in barnyard grass control with the New Path pre to New Path 3-4 leaf. Big take home here is that we weren't able to get these herbicide treatments out early, the timely application. And so no difference in water treatments. We got to stay clean even starting out regardless of water treatment. Similar with the conventional herbicide program, no differences in water level. However, when we go into grain yield for our small plot experiment, we have, this is what we've been working so hard for is establish a curve of when we actually start to see a significant yield loss. And so with our continuous and soil surface treatment, we can actually drive this water level down 10 to 20 centimeters before we actually experience a significant yield loss. However, we do see somewhat of a bump in yield with our soil surface treatment. And just to give you an idea of what these look like, so I'm going to go through a few slides very quickly here of what these water treatments actually look like and how far we drive them down. So this is a continuous flood. We maintain this flood year-round or during the growing season. This is what it looks like for a soil surface treatment. So this would be the point at which we irrigate it again. 10 centimeters below the soil surface, so we've got it's a very heavy sharky clay. The soil is really mucky and muddy, sticky. 20 centimeters below, the ground is starting to firm up. We're starting to see some cracks on the soil surface, and you can actually walk without getting too muddy. 30 centimeters below, we've got some severe soil crusting, but our plants are still alive, surprisingly enough. And this is what it looks like on these heavy clays. At 40 centimeters, 16 inches below the soil surface. When that water level drops that low, that's an 80-inch crack in our soil. So that just goes to show, what kind of stress we can get when we drive it down that far. And with that, we had three different varieties in there. We wanted to look at a conventional Clearfield variety, a conventional inbred, and then a Rystec hybrid. Traditionally, the Rystec hybrid will out-yield the other two, and there was no interaction among water treatment and cultivar. When we look at water use for these different irrigation treatments, so continuous flood, this 320 to 340 is actually very close to our permitted amount. So even in small plot experiments, we were pretty close to exceeding that amount. However, as we decrease the amount of water or increase the threshold that we allow the water level in the paddy side, we significantly reduce water use. And that really translates into water use efficiency. However, there was, for water use efficiency, an interaction between cultivar and water treatment. And so what we see as we drive this further down, actually our water use efficiency for our Rystec hybrid increases. As far as cultivar selection, it gives a real good depiction on making that decision and having that sort of insurance whenever we experience a drought stress. Lodging really had no, there was no significant interaction, just 151, Clearfield 151 has significant lodging. Then I'm going to go through the on-farm real quick. So this was, over 3 years worth of data. We had about 20 site years. And in an on-farm setting, we had a grower's field directly adjacent to the alternate wetting and drying, and then that was next to a side inlet field. And so we compared these three different treatments. For a water use, continuous was the greatest water use, and then as we go on treatments, we reduce water use. However, there was no significant difference in grain yield, so we are able to maintain grain yield. That was the entire data set. We kind of broke that into sort of intensive growers and non-intensive growers as far as doing an economic type analysis. And for our intensive growers, our profitability, people who are already really intensive managers of water, they don't really see a huge benefit in shifting into an alternate wetting and drying growing system or irrigation system. But our non-intensive growers, whenever they go from a conventional program to alternate wetting and drying or even a side inlet program, they really see the benefit in profitability. So in conclusion, for the alternate wetting and drying, we're able to reduce water use from irrigation pumping and maintain rice grain yield. Our weed control remains the same as far as our alternate wetting and drying compared to continuous flood. And adoption of our alternate wetting and drying to grower fields can be implemented without negative impacts on grain yield or profitability. And so really had a great time, being with the farmers and I've them letting us be on their farms. And with that, I'd like to thank the Rice Promotion Board and my advisors and all my guys at DREC for helping out with this study. Do I need to stop?
Time for one question.
Okay, yeah.
In many studies in Asia, AWD, if you go down very low in the water content, there's a huge significant reduction in yield. So in more data is not. Can you give us more
detail? Right. So the reason why I think we didn't see the huge amount of reduction, two out of the 3 years were anomalies. We had a significant amount of rainfall. We got really good drought stress 1 year. That was in 2015. So we were really able to drive that down. It was about a 30 to 45% reduction in grain yield from the continuous all the way down to the 40 centimeter below. In 2015, 2016, a lot of water that actually brought our irrigation, our water use or irrigation applied down a tremendous amount. But the plant really never got just a ton of stress. So even in that 40 centimeter this year, I did not irrigate a single time after the initial flood. Did not get irrigated this year. There was that much rain. So,
thank you.